Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson!
All right, y'all, good afternoon and happy Tuesday to you. It's what? It's Tuesday, December 18th, 2012. That's right, y'all. And guess what? It's a good day to be alive, people. Okay, now that we got that out of the way. Hey, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And today, we have another great show planned for you. And the title of the show is The Devil Made Me Do It. But you know what? We're going to get back to that in a few minutes. There we are. Okay. But anyway, you know, let me figure out what's going on here for a moment. You know, yesterday we had some great conversation yesterday on some things that I think we really need to talk about. You know, and being that we have talked about it yesterday, I felt that we needed to go ahead and continue the conversation today. And that we shall, without a doubt. Now, if you want to go ahead and get in on the conversation, that's no problem. Just give me a call at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. If you want to join our chat room, that's no problem either. Only thing you have to do, just sign into your blogtalkradio.com or sign into your local social media site, Facebook, MySpace, whatever. And join me in the chat room. We have some outstanding conversations going on there as well. Also, go to my Facebook page and leave comments and posts if you like. And that's EricLetsTalk@Facebook.com. And a lot of times you'll find the question of the day there also. So, you know, you can participate in that. And let's see, Twitter at DrivenForLife62. So I think I've covered all the bases as to how you can stay on top with me. How you can, stay on top with me, follow me. Now, with that being said, oh boy, yesterday's show, man, I tell you, I really got a lot out of yesterday's show. And it got kind of heated for a hot minute, you know? You know, it got really, really heated there for a hot minute. It was a great show, and you know, it just goes to show that there's a lot of different ideas and thought processes out there about the way people feel about certain things. You know, and you know, sometimes y'all, it's good to hear the other side, have somebody say the other things, because you know, sometimes you just have to know. It's good to know. Okay, now, you know, I put the question of the day out there on my page, and you know, I got some very, very interesting comments actually. And the question is, we know God gives us free will, but without the belief in God, do you think evil is more prevalent? That was the question of the day. And, man, talking about the responses I got, it was just, outstanding. See, here's one that said, evil is absolutely prevalent without the belief in God. You see what happens when God's prayer was taken out of the school. The devil murdered 20 kids. We have no protection from Satan in our schools, so we must send them prayed up already. Without God's protection, we have no defense against evil. Evil is always present, and the best trick the devil ever pulled was making the world believe he didn't exist. Oh, he exists, and I put my breast of armor on and fight this evil Lord and Savior. Now, that's just one response we had gotten, okay? And I tell you, but it's one that really got my attention.
let me see if I can find it here, that really, I think, put it in kind of perspective. I think this may be it. It is kind of hard today, but I say no. I say so. There are some people that don't believe in God who are just good people. But I would have to say overall, evil is more prevalent without a belief in God that causes one to act accordingly. Because your nature, good or bad, will cause you to fulfill the desire of your human side and nature. Secondly, I think a lot of people who say they believe, but they only believe to the point that they don't have to give up their sins. Now, that was just a couple of the responses I did receive, you know, to my question of the day. So, it's interesting. And here's one more. Yeah, here's one more I wanted to talk about, too. It says, I would have to say yes, because even though God gives us free will, without the belief in God, I think there would be no remorse when someone does something evil. I think as Christians, when we do something wrong, we still have that on our conscience, knowing that we are disobeying God and his commandments. All right. So those were just some responses to my question of the day. Like I say, if you want to, you know, leave a response or say something about the question of the day, just go to ericlesstalk@facebook.com and leave a response. Hey, trust me, I see them. I look at them. All right. Now, let's see. You know, like we do, we always find one story, you know, from around the country, around the world that we want to talk about before we get in the show. I wait for the council to show up. If any of them decide to come in today, they'd be taking a vacation day off. let's see. No religion. Third world group after Christians and Muslims. And I think this kind of went into what we was talking about yesterday. Let's see. No religion, third world group after Christmas. The study based on extensive data for the year 2010 also showed Islam and Hinduism as the faith most likely to expand in the future, while Jews have the weakest growth prospects. Let's see. It showed Christianity is the most evenly spread religion present in all regions of the world, while Hinduism is the least global, with 94% of its population in one country, which is India. Which, okay, that makes sense. Okay, overall, 84% of the world's inhabitants, which is estimated at 6.9 billion, identify with a religion. Okay, so not what? Overall, 84% of people in the world say they have some type of religion, right? That leaves, what, 16%? 16% that either says they don't have any religion or, you know, they just believe in whatever. I guess that's the same as saying I don't have any religion, right? The unaffiliated category covers all those who profess no religion, from atheists to agnostics to people with spiritual beliefs but no link to any established faith. Many of the religiously affiliated do hold religious spiritual beliefs, the study stressed. So basically what it's saying is, besides Christians and Muslims, there is no other dominant religion around the world. And 84% of the world's inhabitants, you know, identify with some type of religion. So that leaves 16%, you know, whether they are, as the study said, atheists, agnostics, or whatever, you know, that have their own belief. So, interesting. I found that very interesting yesterday about, found that interesting today as I was doing a little research. So, you know, if you want to read up a little bit more on it, I'm going to put the link up in the chat room. So, you know, y'all can go on and check that out. Hey, A-Nav, I see you out there. I can always count on you. So I placed a link in the chat room if you want to go ahead and check that out. All right, I think we got all that out of the way. So now let's go on to get into the meat of the show today, y'all. Let's get in. But, you know, as always, before we get started with today's show, we have to talk about a little bit about yesterday's show. Now, yesterday's show, the conversation basically centered on around the God concept and the choices we make, whether as an individual or, you know, whether an individual believes in the existence of a supreme being, God, or not. Okay, there was also the mention of the second law of the thermodynamics. I mean, we talked about some things yesterday. And you know what? I had to go back and actually listen. You know, I really had to go back and listen to what was going on. You know, while I'm doing the show, I miss a lot of things, so I definitely have to go back and check it out. But it does you some good. I mean, it really does. Now, you know, Mr. Solution did mention the second law of thermodynamics, and I'm not going to lie to you, it had my interest up when he said it, because I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not a science guy. You know, I really didn't like that too much in school, but I, you know, did what I had to do. So, you know, I had to go and look at it and check it out. And basically what it says is it is an expression of the fact that over time, differences in temperature, pressure, and chemical potential decrease in an isolated physical system. And that's basically the gist of what the second law of thermodynamics says. In other words, everything decays. Everything decays after time. You know what I mean? Everything decays after time. Hey, if y'all want that in the chat room, let me know. I'll give you the link to that. Now, there was also another question on a universe from nothing. You know, I remember that conversation because that one got deep. Universe from nothing. Well, once again, you know, doing my little researchy thing, you know, I found that there was a paper written by Lexi V. Filipenko and J.M. Pastorkoff, which titled A Universe from Nothing. And basically what it says, it came from nothing. And its total energy is zero, but it nevertheless has incredible structure and complexity. There could even be many other such universes sparsely distinct from ours. You know, that was the gist of the paper. That's okay. I missed it here somewhere. Okay. Yeah, that was basically it for the paper. For what? It's just a little something to think about. You know, I mean, it's a long paper, and it really goes into, you know, the universe coming up from nothing. Once again, you know, I'll be nice. I mean, I want y'all to be on top of it just like I am. So I'll go ahead and post this in the chat room, too. So you can go ahead and check that out. You know, because, you know, if I find some things, I want y'all to be aware of them also. So when we have our little great conversations, we really get up and get it going. You know, that's right. Because I believe, like Mr. Solution say, sometimes you just have to, what? Do some research. Now, there was something else, too. Mr. Stanley, you know, he had a comment as, you know, as far as the question of, you know, was there really the existence of God? Actually, does God exist? You know, how do we know God exists? And, wow, whew, man, that was a deep one there, but I had to go to work on that one, too. And basically, I found mankind has always demanded both a mystical God and a logical, defensible God. I.e., human beings want to prove God exists without detracting from his mystery. Okay? Now, that's just one thing. Of course, once again, doing my little research, I went and found some things that really, really, really brought it into focus here for me. And here's my answer to Stanley's question about how do we know God really exists? God's self-existence and his transcendence over time imply his pre-existence and creatorhood. Okay, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Yes, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. Now, if y'all want to read more about that, no problem. Just go to Isaiah 48 chapter 12 to 13 verse, and you can figure to get that going too. I know y'all. I've been working this morning, huh? Okay, once again, that link will get put in the chat room too. So, you know, we can really get some things going here this morning. I told y'all, boy, I was ready today. Y'all ain't going to catch me slipping today. I'm sorry. I'm on top of it. Hey, LT, I see y'all there. Okay. All right, I think I'm through with posting stuff in the chat room now. You know, because it's crazy, y'all. Now, you know, at the end of yesterday's show, we really got into a conversation that I really like talking about, and it was black on black crime. You know what I mean? Which is some interesting stuff going on. Let's see. I got a question coming out of the chat room. Hey, now I want to know what is Stan's explanation as to why so many atheists that have now become Christians and believers in God. Scientists, along with atheists that never believed in God or the Bible now, say different. Well, you know what, A, now I think they're realizing that the more they try to explain things, the more they realize, you know, it's just not a Big Bang theory or everything just showed up out of nowhere. I think they're beginning to realize that. And, you know, if any of them decide to pick up that thing they call the Bible and read it, you know, a lot of things are coming true today that was written in the Bible years and years ago. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Of course, that's just my opinion, y'all. Now, I'm not a preacher or nothing, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So that's the way I feel about it. Okay, A Now's agreeing with me too. High five, A Now. High five. All right. So, but yeah, the title of the show today is The Devil Made Me Do It. And you know what? I'm tell you, I got that title from, I got to give him credit, Mr. Supreme himself, Poverty Supreme. And I'm going to tell you why I, you know, he gave me an idea. Because every time we hear him talk, he yells about the, what is it, blonde hair, blue-eyed devil, and what have you. And I really thought it was really, really interesting. So I really had to go and find some things. So I went and did a little research, and I think, you know, we need to clear this thing up about whether, you know, the so-called devil made us do it. I see you out there. Hold on, because there's some things I want to do before I start taking phone calls. So when I went, I found a couple of news pieces and, you know, kind of concentrating on black crime. And these certain pieces actually talk about the crime that's in Chicago, because Chicago really has a bad black-on-black crime right now. So what I'm going to do is play these clips for you, and then we're going to come back and get started on our little discussion. All right, that's all right, y'all. Here's a little something new, something new. All right, here we go with the first clip. Talk to y'all in a little bit.
African Americans make up only 12% of the population. We account for more than 45% of murder victims, and 90% of those murdered are killed by other African Americans. The Center for Healing Hearts and Spirits and the Black on Black Crime Coalition.
The O'Reilly Factor.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Juan Williams, in for Bill O'Reilly. And in the personal story segment tonight, where's the outrage? As President Obama flew to Copenhagen to try to win the Olympics for his hometown of Chicago, some African-American members of that town want to know why the president hasn't spoken out about the beating death, absolutely bizarre and cruel beating death, of a Chicago honor student caught in the middle of a fight between two rival factions. President Obama was very vocal about the controversy surrounding the arrest of a black Harvard professor by a white cop, but so far, not a peep, hasn't said a word about the murder of Darian Albert last week. That said, Attorney General Eric Holder and Education Secretary Arne Duncan will go to Chicago next week to meet with members of the community. Joining us now from Boston, the Reverend Eugene Rivers, and from Los Angeles, civil rights attorney Leo Terrell. You know what, Eugene Rivers, let me start with you and ask. We have an African-American president. He's from Chicago. We've seen this videotape. How can he not speak out on this issue? It is a moral outrage. It is a challenge to us as black people.
Listen, the intellectual and moral asymmetry of President Obama investing his political capital in this celebrity contretemps in Harvard Square that resulted in a big national discussion about which beer they would drink at the White House, and the death of an innocent child in President Obama's hometown. Listen, President Obama and the Obama administration, it is a shame at best and moral asymmetry that you would be silent on the death of this young child and use this teachable moment wrapped in this tragedy to begin a national conversation about one of the major scourges of this country, which is black-on-black crime.
Well,
the
let me bring Leo in here. Leo, Terrell, let me ask you something. Can the president, even as I, and you've just heard Reverend Rivers, we are both, you know, just about want to have our heads blown off. I mean, just can't believe what's going on with black-on-black crime. But is it unfair of us to ask that the president get involved here? Do you think it would make a difference if he, as president, the first black president, said something with heart, with passion? Would it make a difference to these kids who would do something so cruel and so brutal to an honor student?
I think respectfully you and the Reverend are wrong. I think the analogy is a false analogy. The issue involving the police officer and the professor talks about a historical problem with race relations between black and white. We had a civil war about this. We had constitutional amendments over this. We had a Voting Rights Act and a Civil Rights Act. Black-on-black crime, black-on-brown crime exists throughout this country. And to try to criticize the president because he talked about a historical problem that we have had in this country, black versus white, and to criticize him because he did not speak out with the same temperament on this particular tragic situation is wrong. And I think it is a false analogy to criticize the president for that, Juan.
Well, wait a second now. One situation, the president thought it was racial profiling. I don't think it was racial profiling when Sergeant Crowley showed up at that house. So I don't see the historical analogy. Neighbors of all races calling somebody to Professor Gates' house. I mean, I don't see that. But anyway, let's assume that what you say is right, okay? Even if that's right, don't you think there's a need to deal with this black-on-black crime situation, especially when it's young men killing each other and killing an honor student?
I don't think it's an issue about talking about it. But what you're asking the president to do is to raise it to the same national level as this historical problem that we have had with black and white cases. The black-on-black crime is something of a recent development over the last 25, 30 years. The president sent the attorney general, and he sent the secretary of education.
No.
But to attack him because he didn't raise it to that level is wrong.
All right, Reverend Rivers?
No. It's not an attack. It's a challenge. This is a moral challenge to the president of the United States. I'm calling on the country and black people across the country to address this issue. You see, the Civil War was not about a black professor getting into a beef with a white cop. The Civil War was about slavery. So there's no analogy there. Slavery is what the Civil War was about. In this case, you have this scourge, this epidemic of black-on-black violence, as an entire generation of young black males are drowning in their own blood, and we are making a humanitarian appeal to the leader of this country to exhibit the same moral concern that he exhibited in the case of my friend Henry Louis Gates and this remarkable tragedy where there has been silence across the board. Frankly, just morally, I'm astounded at the remarkable moral asymmetry, and I'm calling on the country.
Well, let me jump in. Let me go back to Leo. Leo, you know what? Here's the thing for me. You're saying this is not the historical argument, you know what, that there's a larger problem with black people and cops and all the rest. But, Leo, when I think about what's going on in the streets of urban America today with young black kids killing young black kids, brother, it hurts my heart. And I can't believe that you would sit here and not say we got to do something as adults in the room.
Juan, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is the flaw in the Reverend's argument. He says he's calling on black people. He should be calling on all Americans. I question the Reverend's motivation simply because Mr. Obama's skin shares the same color as ours. Would he make the same call if it was President Bush? Let me finish. I didn't interrupt you. And Juan, as a civil rights attorney, I feel the hurt and need. But we have black on brown crime as well. And to make a reference that the Reverend is calling on black America, this is an America issue. And so all Americans should be involved.
Leo, you don't feel that there's you don't feel there's a special moment here for black adults, for people like you, me, Reverend Rivers, to speak up and say this is an outrage and in our community take some responsibility?
But our community consists of other races.
Right.
So I say, yes, Juan, we should set the lead, but we should make sure that we're inclusive with everyone else. Again, Juan,
okay.
We have black-on-brown crime in Los Angeles.
Well, I say, look, I'm just saying this is a specific black-on-black issue. Reverend Rivers, I'm going to give you the last word. We got about 15 seconds.
President Obama, we appeal to you to exhibit the same moral and intellectual concern that you exhibited for... our friend Skip Gates
for the poor
black child
right.
in the inner cities.
Reverend Rivers,
God
Mr.
Bless
Terrell,
you.
Thank you both.
Violent crime in Chicago. So far this year, 109 people have been murdered in that city. That's up 56% over last year. Much of the violence is gang-generated, minority-involved. We sent Jesse Waters to the Windy City to find out what's going on.
Murder skyrocketing in the city of Chicago. What's going on?
It's three times more deadly in Chicago than anywhere in the nation.
It really starts at home because you've got a lot of people that are born into families without fathers.
Chicago gets millions of dollars each year to fight this. Where's the money going?
Money is not enough. It's going to take family to family, block to block, to not only bring the crime down but raise the value of life.
What's this neighborhood like?
Confused. Desperate. Desperate for resources. I don't know where the resource is going, but it's not coming in our community.
It's World War 17 over here. If you get caught in crossfire, just hope you make it out here.
We've got to do more graduations than we do funerals to turn this thing around.
Where's that coming from?
There are a lot of gangs here.
Basically, what you have are two primary gangs, Gangs of Disciples. Black Gangs of Disciples. So Black Disciples.
So are there a lot of shootings in this neighborhood?
Oh, definitely. Right here, we're on King Drive. It's supposed to be a symbol of peace. Unfortunately, we have a lot of violence on right here on King Drive.
Yeah, I got shot one day. It's all good, though. I'm still alive.
People don't talk to nobody. You'll be lucky enough if you could just make it across the street to the store and come back.
You got, President Obama's house right here. You go six blocks over. You got shootings over here. You got four blocks over this way. You got shootings over that way.
Five shots were fired.
You're talking about semi-automatic guns. You're talking about high-power guns. These kids are holding some very dangerous weapons.
We've got to stop referring to people as African-American, Hispanic-American. These are American kids, and they're being slaughtered by other American kids.
Police come after the murder happened. You don't see a police officer out here now.
There are a lot of patrol cars patrolling the neighborhood. I think they're not enough.
If Bill wanted to come out here, what would you guys like? Greet him with open arms?
Yeah, there's no black-on-white crime. He's safe down here. They don't want him.
You just heard pop, pop, pop. People start screaming and running everywhere.
And these murders have spiked during Rahm's watch. How do you think the mayor's handled it?
Well, they spiked during Mayor Daley's watch. He has been known as a deadly city.
He's trying to come up with ways, and he's listening to the people in the communities, and he's trying to figure out positive solutions.
About 70% of all the shootings and homicides in the city of Chicago are gang-on-gang of violence. If we can deal with the reprisal shooting, we can start to make an impact on both the shooting and the homicides.
Murders at a record rate under your watch. How do you feel about that?
I just answered that question.
I know. Is that the kind of message you want to send to the
members
of families?
With you.
Okay.
I will.
Can you be right there with me, please? Obama did a lot of community organizing there. Did that work?
Well, I never heard of the guy until he ran for Senate.
He did a great job, and then he moved on, and someone else took his place.
Obama, my man. You know what I'm saying? I mess with Obama, but at the same token, it's more he could be done.
Most of the politicians that are from Chicago, just like the Trayvon Martin, case. You have Bobby Rush, on the House floor in a hoodie when people are dying in this district.
Just because someone wears a hoodie does not make them a hooligan.
I think that's kind of hypocritical, and that's my honest opinion.
All right, a couple of things. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, he didn't want to talk to you, right?
No, he didn't want to answer
your questions. Okay. No women in that piece.
No, they were too scared to talk to me at all. It's really sad. They can't even go across the street with groceries. They're kind of ducking and hiding in the middle of the day.
All right, so they don't want to be on television and anger somebody who may watch it who is a member of a gang.
Right.
Now, what are these gangs fighting about? Do they sell narcotics? Are they drug gangs?
Mostly drug gangs, and they're fighting over smaller and smaller scraps because the economy's bad, and white people aren't buying as many drugs now. So the profits are down, so they're trying to fight over turf, property, and respect.
So most of the fighting and the murders are, I want to be on this block, and I want you off this block.
Right.
And if you don't get off this block, we're going to kill you.
Exactly.
So drug dealers are killing drug dealers.
Right.
Is it all black?
Yeah, it's all black. I mean, that's the deal. And one of the main beefs, actually, Arabs are buying up all the stores in their communities and are employing all the gangbangers. So they're running drugs in and out of these Arab-owned stores, and they're just fronts. And the cops, for some reason, aren't raiding these stores.
How much of a police presence is there in the neighborhood you were in?
I actually saw a lot of police officers, but the main problem there, they're not getting out of patrol cars and patrolling the streets on foot.
They're
not
around.
Shaking hands. They're not getting to know the community. They're kind of responding to the crime after it happens.
Is that because there's so much crime that that's all they have to do is respond?
Or that might be the policy. I talked to one of these ex-police officials, and he said what they need to do is a surge strategy like Iraq. Flood the zone, boots on the ground, do more stings, raids,
absolutely
everything
right. That's
like
what they
that.
Do in New York City with the Comstat. Wherever the crime are, they flood the zone, get these guys out. But it is out of control down there right now, right?
Yeah, it's out of control. I was safe, though. I said, you know, should I be scared? And they said, we don't shoot white people. You're our biggest customer.
For drugs?
Yeah.
Well, they had you picked. No, no, no. Just a little levity on a serious story. All right, good job.
You know, there are people who say, look, the government, the city of Chicago needs to give a safe passage to these kids to and from school. Jesse Jackson said that today in an op-ed. And there are those who say that moving kids from other neighborhoods into the neighborhoods is part of the problem, that it creates turf wars. Do you buy that?
No, I don't. This is not a government issue. The government didn't come in and shoot that child. That's somebody from the community. That's somebody's child who grew up to shoot somebody else's child. The community has to begin to take full responsibility for the circumstances that are taking place within the community. We have to see what we can do as a community to move ourselves forward, empower ourselves. This is about preachers and teachers. This is about parents taking responsibility for the fact that these conditions are killing our children. If the child who had been beaten to death, whose skull had been crushed just a couple days ago, had been shot or killed by a white person, blood would run through the streets.
People in that community and elsewhere.
They would come together. Churches would come together. Religious orders, individuals from all throughout the community, parents and the like, would find a way to galvanize. We've marched the soles out of our shoes. I'm so sick and tired of civil rights activists talking about what we need the government to do. Enough with the doggone government. This is about us. These are our communities. We've created these circumstances. Let's undo them now.
All right, y'all. I hope y'all really, really, really were listening to that. I mean, those clips, just some of the just ones I thought really spoke volumes, man. I mean, good Lord. Especially that last one. You know, the last two, you know, I was just shocked. Whew, Lord. So now, with that being said, and y'all have listened, and I know some of y'all got your thoughts together, the phone lines are open. So let's talk about this thing, the so-called devil made me do it. And as you see, we can't even, you know, and the thing about it, listening to all those different news pieces right there, it's amazing that none of us, we still cannot agree on how to stop this thing. Everybody has their own little piece about how we got to stop this black on black crime and who's to blame and how to cure it. Well, you know what? We need to talk about these things. I see you, Stan. What's going on, man? We really do need to talk about it. So if you want to go and give your two cents on it, no problem. Give me a call, 347-838-622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, okay? Or hit me on the Facebook page, ericletstalk@facebook.com, you know. Now, in one of those pieces, you had this one guy on there, and yes, he was a black guy, y'all, okay? And he said, yeah, I got shot there. I shot. It's okay. It's all good, though. You know, it's like it's a badge of courage, man. I mean, and, you know, he wasn't trying to hide. He wasn't trying to, yeah, I got shot, so what? You know, that's supposed to happen. And for people not to be able to walk out their own doors for scared of, to be, you know, for fear of something happening to them, you know, it's just horrendous. That's a good word to use, horrendous. It's just terrible. Okay, I keep it simple. It's terrible. You know, you know, I know. And then, you know, then you have one expert saying, well, let's do this like Afghanistan. Let's send a surge in. Let's send all the police in. Okay. And what is that going to solve besides more like youth dying? It's just some things that just make you go, Right? It's just my opinion, y'all. So let me know what you think. I have my own opinions on these things, but I just use those pieces right there because, you know, right now Chicago is the epitome of what we have going on in our country as part of black on black crime. You know, it's out of hand. And I kind of agree with the last piece where we cannot depend on other people now. We can't. We can't depend on the government. We can't depend on police. We have to start policing ourselves. Now, how do we do that? By setting the proper foundation of what we need to raise our kids correctly. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, it's the single-parent household and this and that. It doesn't matter what it is. We already know what the causes are. What are the solutions? How do we fix this thing? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all have any idea what I'm talking about right now? Sometimes it just leaves you speechless. It really does. The more you see it, it's like the more people go in hiding. You know, you turn your head, I don't see that. That's not happening anymore. That's not my neighborhood. You know, just like the story said, you know, you have the Arabs moving in these neighborhoods, buying up everything. Then they're employing the little young black kids who's happen to be selling drugs, and they're working them out the stores. So now, not only are they taking our resources away from us, they're helping imprison our kids in our neighborhoods. I'm just telling y'all, this is my opinion, okay? I'm saying this is my opinion. And I know everybody else have their own, but this is my opinion, the way I feel about it. And this, you know, although these pieces were about Chicago, this is something that's happening all across America. All across America. So like I said before, the phone line's open. If you want to talk about this thing, come on now. Let me put this disclaimer out there. All right. If you are, you know, very sensitive about, you know, race and all that other stuff, this may not be the show for you to listen to. You know, if you're sensitive about, you know, because sometimes we get kind of heated up here, so I just want to put that disclaimer out there, okay? All right. Now, I see I got one caller on him now, so I'm going to try and bring them in. Hopefully they still listening. All right, hold on. Hello, you out there? Hello? 111, you there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How you doing, Mr. Solution? How you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. You don't have many callers dealing with this issue today?
Well, not yet, anyway.
Where are the Titans?
I don't know.
Call in to listen to them. Well, I mean, and I call in to talk to them, too. So, but, you know, the thing of it is, I heard that those little clips there. The community is gutless and powerless to do anything about it. If you're not going to address the single mother issue, fuck it. Fuck it. If they can't move out and seek higher ground, as it were, then fuck it. That's it. End of issue. Because you can't solve it if you're too pussified to address the main issue. The main issue is the government has given single mothers subsidies to produce all these out of control people, and no one wants to deal with that. Everybody is scared, and I'm talking about voluntary single mothers. I always have to put that particular caveat there. So you can't fix it if, you know, it's just like if a house, if a pipe burst in your house, okay? You clean up the water, but you don't shut off the source. What happens?
You don't have any water going. You don't have anything going.
You keep flooding.
That's right.
At the source.
Yeah.
And the source, is, see, at one time, and even if someone doesn't have the age, they can study it from a historical point. At one time, there were fewer bastard kids born in the black community than there were in the white communities. In other words, even after slavery, the black community had very, very tight family groupings. That's not true today. You have black women who are basically bitches, and you can't have a relationship with them. And they would rather produce these worthless, wastage children than to be in a relationship. Your preachers can't talk about it because they're effing them and taking their money. And the average guy can't talk about it because he's a pussy.
Hmm.
So there's no solution to it. The people mm-hmm. don't have the guts enough to come up with a solution. If you get all your mouthy women right now and they'll call in and yeah. But they don't have an answer because they can't address their own shit. So there is no answer. They just have to keep killing each other until they kill each other off. What do you think?
I don't think that's a good solution. I mean, I understand what you're saying. And the way it's going, yeah, that's the way it's headed to. But there's got to be a better way. Well, let
you
me
know,
bring Supreme
Eric,
in.
I have to call it like it is. The better way would be to stop being a pussy and tell the truth. Men ask me all the time. They say, well, what can we do? I say, first, tell the truth.
Mm.
The truth is powerful.
The truth,
the
is,
truth
powerful.
Is powerful. But not if you're a pussy.
Mm.
And that's man or woman. And if you don't stop producing these bastard, wastage children, and women have the power to do that. How do I know that? Glad you asked. The government has given them the power to do it. They'll track a man down to pay for a bastard child when the child really should be taken away and adopted out. So, since there can be no real solutions, because the people don't want a solution,
mm-hmm.
you have to continue. You know, this is the law of inertia. All right? Now, I called in really to talk about science today, because I had some more material I wanted to share.
All right.
I think it's appropriate to talk about existence versus non-existence.
Uh-huh.
But because I do this thing so well, I'm going to go ahead and bring the law of inertia, and that is a scientific fundamental law. That is, a thing, remember we were talking about that yesterday, a thing in motion tends to remain in motion unless a superior force interrupts its motion. And the same thing is true with the static state. A thing at rest tends to remain at rest until something of greater force impedes its rest.
Brother, let me say something to you. Let me say something to you, Mrs.
Lee. Let me just finish the thought here. So, you have this social law of inertia in effect. So nothing will change until the pussified people who have the power at minimum to tell the truth. Most people are afraid of women. That's where you're primary problem comes in. You can't be afraid of women. You've got to tell women there's a better way. And I have even suggested paying women to stop having bastard children. Anything short of that is not going to address the problem.
Hmm. All right. Go ahead, the Supreme.
Yeah, we are talking about the devil, right? right?
Go on, make your point, man. Go on, make your point.
Yeah, well, we were discussing it yesterday, and I wanna put this to Mr. Solutions. Now, based on the history of the devil, white folks, right? Do you think that it's about time they went under some sort of psychological evaluation? What do you think of that, Mr. Solutions? Based on history, and since I've been alive, I've never heard them. I've always heard that they, I've constantly heard and I've known since I've been alive in this planet, they've always been in some sort of war. What would you like to say that about that, brother? Solutions? Because I know Eric, he's a project to the devil. But what do you think?
Well, Eric, can you fill in the spots? I was, there was a little bit of interruption, but I think, can you summarize what Supreme is speaking to?
I think Supreme basically was asking, as far as the devil, the white person, and their history, man, he confused me too.
Let me say it again, brother.
Okay.
Can you hear me properly? Can you hear me?
You're
just keep talking.
Coming in spottily.
Just keep talking.
What? You can't hear me properly. Is that what it is? You want me to go and come back in?
No, just talk. Just talk. Why you got the signal, man? Just talk.
Solutions. Now, you're about a man about truth, right?
I try to be, yes.
Okay. Right. So based on the white man's history, the European's history, since I've been alive on this planet, I have not heard of the European anything I've living in peace. Not even a year, I can say, since I've been alive on this planet, that they haven't been in some sort of war. Right?
Oh, okay. I think I have the gist of what he's saying.
Everyone saying, they've been serial killers. There's a guy called Sutton Holmes. That's where they got the story of Sherlock Holmes from. This guy was a serial killer in the late 1800s, right? They've had serial killers all through the last more than 100 years had serial killers. This serial killer in Connecticut is no different. I'm saying that these people need to go under psychological evaluation. Since these people come out of the caves and the hills of Europe, they've been disagreeable everywhere they've been. And I'm saying it's about time that the white man had psychological evaluation. What do you think about that? Based on their
history, I see what you're saying. Well, I would have to say, I'm sorry, were you about to respond, Eric?
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I think under the rubric of proportionality, and that's a very, very important concept, energy conservation, proportionality, and effectiveness. You have to look at proportioning your resources where they will be the most effective. Currently, and Dr. Anderson talks about this, I highly recommend his book. He has one called Black Labor, White Wealth. And the reason I refer to Dr. Anderson, he's a philosopher, an educator, and he has a very, very strong economic background. In fact, I think he was the Undersecretary of Commerce under the Carter administration. So anyway, regarding as to what you're saying, the historical record is undeniable. It's replete with what you're saying. Now we have to look at where we are as in time and space. And where we are in time and space currently, every group has the most opportunity for personal and group success. And that's despite the, downward spiral of the economy, because there are still people, and particularly poor people, people who don't have a lot of assets in their pedigree, they still want to come, you know, to America and other countries, but certainly to America, in order to seek their fortune and fame. And I like that concept. And so the concept that needs to be focused on today under proportionality and focus and conservation of energy is what the people that are affected by a particular situation or circumstance, what they can do, in other words, their appropriate behavior, not blaming someone else, because blaming someone else leaves you without energy and resources, even if you accept the blame, which usually they won't. But your most powerful tool would be to use your energy to rectify whatever problem that is confronting you. And so that's the way I see it from a standpoint of personal and group and community responsibility. Sure, things have been terrible in the past for a lot of people. However, now is the time to use your resources to get what the hell you need. And that can be done. That can really be done. You just got to you have a bunch of hard-headed idiots, a bunch of jackasses, old, young, whatever. And so that has to change. Until the attitude is there to really address the problem will remain. And that's what you have today. So it's not white racism is not the most critical issue facing, if you want to talk about black Americans today. It's black inappropriate behavior. That is the most important issue.
Brother, wait. I'm talking about the Connecticut in relation to the Connecticut shooting. I'm talking about in relation to the Batman shooting. There's a lot of things that there was a devil around England who killed his family and his children. There's regular reports of devils going on holiday and throwing his family out of windows, his wife and his children, and then throwing himself out the window. I'm saying these people need to go under psychological evaluation. I mean, I understand what you're saying with us, but for me, everything is to the letter of the Willie Lynch. You know, they put a thing in place since 1712 where they turn the lighter against the darker. I'm saying that we're going through Willie Lynch and Stockholm syndrome, where you start to take on the personality.
I understand. Look, I understand. When I say I understand what you're talking about. But you've got to understand context. A lot of people don't. They're overly emotional. Now, it's fine to be emotional once you clarify the direction that one should go. But that's not where the issue lies. You won't get very much traction there. What you want is a better life, presumably. Is that correct?
There's no doubt about that.
Okay, well, that's what you have to focus your energies on, not blaming someone else, because blaming someone else still won't get you what you want. That's a unique skill. Getting what you want is a unique skill. I would say look at other people who are doing what you want to do. Remember, just like if you go out, I've never heard anybody say, there's no car in the world that I wouldn't enjoy. There's no house that I wouldn't enjoy. There's no prepared food that I wouldn't enjoy. No, all of that stuff you could enjoy if you know how to get it. So you have to prioritize what the hell you want. See, a lot of people, when I worked in mediation, and a lot of times I want to know what you want to resolve the issue. I mean, sure, I'll listen to you vent. You can vent. That's fine. But I ultimately want to know, what the hell do you want to resolve this problem? And a lot of people I found are not aware of how to get from point A to point B in problem resolution. They just want to be angry. They just want to vent. And they think that's the resolution. But it's really not. So what I'm saying,
I'm not coming with a point of anger, you know, because in the day I get a chance to let off anger every day. You understand? I'm saying to you, I'm talking real talk, and I'm saying about what happened in the Connecticut shooting. I'm saying that.
You got to stay focused now. If you flit all over the place, it's not going to be.
You're not answering the question, brother. I'm not answering the question.
See, what you need to figure out is how to get what Supreme wants. First of all, you have to identify what you want. What do you want? What would make you happy today? What would make you feel fulfilled today, Supreme? What?
I'm happy. You know what would make me feel fulfilled? Not even fulfilled.
And be reasonable now. Don't give me some shit. Want the moon wrapped in a bow and delivered in my driveway?
No. Listen, there's not. And I got a beautiful baby. I've got a beautiful daughter. Right? There is nothing. I see. I have money. I've got a nice house. I've been a nice 5-bedroom house. I don't shit. You understand?
I don't understand. What's the last part you say? You want for nothing? Is that what I heard you say?
I don't want for anything. I don't want for anything.
Okay, well, you should be happy then. I mean, you should be fulfilled. You should consider yourself fulfilled.
Hello, Mr. Solution.
Hey, what's up, my arch scientific existential rival?
No, but for what you're saying right now, I agree 100% of what you just said.
I know you do, Stan. We agree on most things that matter. We agree.
Yeah, that thing that you just said, I agree 100%. Me too, as a working businessman. When I go to people and say, what do you want? They go like, they don't know what they want. Exactly what you said, Mr. Solution.
That's right. A lot of people do not, they've never been taught to think in a focused resolution vein. So they're just angry. They're just upset. So what you have to do is go ahead and master.
I'm sentimental. I ain't upset. I ain't emotional. You see what I'm trying to say? If I was emotional, when I was younger, I was emotional. Right? And my emotions would want. If I were quick tempered, right? And I would look your fellow man.
On the topic Eric is talking about right now, because this is an interesting topic. How do you resolve the crime? It's in Chicago, I believe, correct, Eric?
Yeah, this is in Chicago.
If you were czar for a day, what solution would you propose or enact to rectify the problem of the...
Let me tell you what the problem is. We as older folk, right?
All right, now give us a resolution we can bite our teeth into. And
me,
not just circular.
Alright, I ain't gonna go no circular. I'm saying to you, we as old people, I mean, I'm 30 anyway, but I told the youths, if I see them doing wrong, I will pull them up. The youths that I know, I pull them up, You see what I say? I even tend to pull up the trousers. Maybe that's because they know that they know who I am, and they know what I used to be just like them when I was younger. So they see me grow up. And they see me be the man that I am today. Well, I'm not like that as how I used to be. Wild, I used to be quick, hot tempered, have lots of fights, and that was my life. Could have died for saying the wrong thing to me. Understand? And what I'm saying to you, right, is that I don't feel like the old folk in Chicago are scared of the youth. The older people are scared of young people. That's why they're off the chain the way they are in Chicago. Because when you might see a group of black youths smoking drugs on a corner, and I'm saying average, maybe you might talk to them, right? But the average grown up don't say nothing. When I was young, I was on this street hardcore, right? It was older women of the older part of the age of 50 who come and tell me, if you come off this street now before the police come lock you up, I pull up your trousers as well. And I pull up my trousers and move from my spot with my brethren, right? Now, you'll get young men who are big, full of muscles, and say shit. You understand? They ain't say shit to us. But the older, much older woman who I could take from my grandmother back in those days, team come and pull us up and tell us how we're not to be here before the policemen pick us up and she would tell us to pull up our trousers and that. The older, us older men, they complain about the youths with their trousers down to their knees. But they're not saying anything when they see these youths with their trousers down to their knees because they're scared. They got a good reason. If someone of that age, my older folk, spoke to me the wrong way when I was younger, he would have put a question in his face. There's no doubt about it. But if he came to me in a nice, calm manner, I would listen to him. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that older people are scared of the youth. That's the reason why all those shootings are going on in Chicago and things are getting related with them. Obviously, that kid, there's a lot of single mothers. That is a major problem. That's why, like I said, me growing up in a single parent household, right? Not even with my mother and father, but me growing up with a woman, right? That kind of made me more emotional. And because I was dealing with the pain of no family, that made me even more quicker to go off the handle. Do you understand? And I got that off the woman that I was raised by. Do you understand? I got that off the woman that I was raised by. That quit. If you stepped on my trainers, I would have went mad. You know, I would have demanded that you clean my trainers. You understand? I had friends who've had fights because in clubs even, a man stepped in their trainers and they told him to wipe it. The guy didn't want to wipe it. There was blood all the way in the street. You understand? So I'm just being real with the family. Right now, I'm just real, and that's how my show. And I'm saying, right, the older folk have lost track and lost control of the youth, and we scared. No, I'm saying this. If we get pull up the youth, yeah, especially the in cargo, you're going to have to let the devil take them. You understand? Because I wouldn't want to kill these youth out here. You understand? I would give them an ass whipping. And if you don't want to listen after that, we're going to have to let the devil take them and lock up for a good amount of time so they can come out when they're old and they'll reflect in that while they're inside for that all time. You understand? Sometimes jail's the best thing, then it can be the worst thing. There you go.
Okay, you through?
You ain't got nothing to say to that.
Okay. what I have to say is, okay, in about four words, what was your point of all that? What was your main point?
I'm saying, he asked me, yeah, how do we... the youth, how do you stop the youth?
Right.
And how do we stop people going to handle in, kids in black folk, kids in black folk in Chicago? It's probably the capital of the world right now. Right. I've seen the increases. I was hearing about Chicago from here. I'm saying it's because the youth that elders ain't pulling up the youth. That's the bottom line. That's what it is, ain't it? Nav. I'm just trying to go into many different aspects. I'm trying to pull it, show you from a real life standpoint.
Okay. All right. Well. Okay, Spring. I see where you're going, but we're already aware of that issue, that part of it. So what is? I mean, how do we fix that then? I mean, because in the pieces alone, see, this is just not, wait a minute, Supreme, I just use Chicago as an example, but this is something that's going on throughout our whole country. See what I'm saying? Understand? Now, my question is, okay, in these pieces I was playing, these folk are scared to even come out of their own homes. So how are they going to actually stand up to somebody they're scared of? So how do we reverse that trend? You can't just walk up to these kids now and say anything to them for the threat of them shooting you.
Well, if you were listening to me, I said, if we are too scared to go and approach the youth and put actively as men, as elders, together and go and beat sense into these youth or put sense into youth, right, we're going to have to let the devil take. Black folk on don't talk to the police. So I'm saying
understand that. I understand that. You see what I'm trying to say? But I'm saying, if we two sit to go and police on the streets, we're going to have to let the devil intercept now. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but, all right. So, if that's the case, there's a little flaw in that. If you well, say... And me, I'm going to tell you what it is, because some of these, as Mr. Solution say, these men out there with the tiny ball syndrome, instead of trying to correct the young brothers, they're out there walking around hanging out with them with their hair braided and their do-rags on, standing out on the corner with them. So what do you do about that? You can't call the police. What the police going to do? The police already don't come to the neighborhood. Hell, you call them for something and take them damn near an hour to get there. So that is not the solution either. So what is a viable solution to solve this issue?
That has not been tried. That has not been tried. Or tested.
What hasn't been tried?
Not in the black community. That has not been tried or tested, right? So you can't say, oh, well, that's when white folks call and stuff like that. You can't say that. We haven't tried that.
You know what? That.
But Supreme, the problem with what you're saying is, I have to go back to what Mr. Solution is. The first thing we have to teach the kids is they have to take accountability and responsibility for the choices they make. If you don't teach that to your kids, you're done. That's the number one law that all of us as adults has to come to those kids and say, you know what? If you decide to put your pants that way, there's you're going to be accountable for some stuff.
You need to get the mothers in. I would love to hear it. I think it would make for great. Hold on just a second.
And start shooting people, the consequence will be you'll go to prison.
I think it would make for great radio and radio theater to have some of these single mothers. I mean, there are plenty of them out there who had multiple kids by multiple men, and see what their positions are. I mean, why aren't they being talked to? What about that, Eric? Do you think Shasta in here? She needs to. Where is she now?
Listen, she's
Supreme. Hold on a minute. Hold on, Supreme.
Shasta's handling other business. She's handling other business.
Yeah, we need women like her. Now, Shasta is a single mother, isn't she?
Yeah, but she's got a five-year-old.
Supreme, hold on, sir. Supreme, hold on. Because you don't understand this, apparently.
I understand this, brother, because I live with
it. Do not understand. You don't understand it. Now, the point is, just like when they go in and round up animals, you go in with tranquilizer guns, nets, and the problem can be resolved. And my position is, if we want to resolve the problem, we can resolve the problem. But are the people that live in that community worth resolving the problem for?
Brother.
That's the other issue.
I know you're from Cali, Los Angeles, right?
Supreme, hold on a minute, sir. What do you think about that, Eric? In the community worth resolving the problem for?
Now that is a good that's a good point.
Are they worth based on what you know? Are they worth resolving the problem?
I would say yes. I would say yes. They are.
Right, what's your evidence? What resources? What level of sophistication do they have that would warrant someone risking their resources to try to save them?
Well, the some of the resources they probably have are knowledge, education, but they can't do anything because they're scared to come out. I mean, they don't have the resources to move out of the neighborhood. Understand what I'm saying? So what they're doing is they're trying to build up in the neighborhood, but the more they try and build it up, these thugs or what have you are tearing it, you know, continue to tear it down, which probably discourages them. So I would never say that there's not a neighborhood that is not worth trying to save. I would never say that.
It may look
the outside, but there's always some way to save improve a neighborhood somewhere.
Yeah, but Eric, you know that there is some neighborhood somewhere, we're not saying where, that aren't worth saving, correct?
Okay, yes, I do say, yeah.
Okay, we just have to find out which ones fit that particular criteria. I would say, based on the modern way of thinking and behaving, that neighborhood is not worth saving. Did you say the police? Now, I kind of chuckled when you said that. But you said the police won't go into that neighborhood?
Yeah, even the young man said, you know, the police, they take their time coming. You know, it's like they're under the impression that, okay, you know, they killed another one. Okay, we'll take our time getting there. Hopefully another one gets taken down.
Let me tell you why that is. Because they know once they come on the scene of a black-on-black murder scene, we don't operate with the police, right? So it's quiet coming out there because all they're going to do is look at the body, the blood analysis and all shit, and then, you know, cover it up, put signs on it, and then done. They never really catch, they don't really catch the complex, they hard attack black guys. I don't even care for it anyway, because we don't operate.
You've heard of, and you know, I'm going to go study just a little bit more, but you've heard of the Philistines, correct?
I don't know nothing about the Philistines.
No, not you. I was just asking Eric.
Eric,
you or Stan, have you ever heard of Philistines?
No.
Yes, I have.
You've heard? How about the Amorites?
Yes, I've heard of them also.
The Hittites?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what I'm pointing out, certain groups of people went extinct, certain cultures of people, because they practice inappropriate behavior.
Okay,
In other words, although I don't buy into Charles Darwin's natural selection theory fully, and I think he gave a caveat, he gave a way out.
But I do think
that a certain amount of natural selection is evident in cultures, in species, and that sort of thing. And I think appropriate versus inappropriate behavior will get you naturally selected out. What do you think?
No, that's true. It's definitely true.
Okay. What do you think, Eric? You follow that line of thinking?
He got
Let Supreme finish. Go ahead, Supreme.
I say that. What you got to understand, where he got that survival in it, fittest, isn't it? Is because he came to that conclusion, and he tried to put everything into his study of the ant kingdom. That's where he
I know it doesn't fit everything, just like Newtonian physics
but that's
doesn't.
What he tried
doesn't answer everything, but it answers a lot. And I do think natural selection, it's appropriate to introduce that that concept to this equation. Because if the people, number one, first of all, if they're not equipped to grow their way out, and they're so violent that anyone else comes in, who wants to go in and risk their life and limb to save a group of unthankful people? Who the hell wants to do that? Who wants to invest in a community where they're just going to tear stuff up? Who wants to do
that? Brother, this is the thing. This is the thing.
Well, see, these are questions that need to be asked and answers sought because, I mean, we are discussing this from a resolution standpoint.
Correct.
And the position is, now, from a humanitarian standpoint, would I like to see the people saved? Of course I would. However, if there's no ark being built, well, the flood is already coming. Salvation for them. They won't save themselves, and they're so violent. You know, there was a course given in lifeguard. I mean, there was a lesson given in lifeguard. Sometimes when you go out to save a person, in fact, oftentimes, you have to disable that person. You have to knock that person out. You have to incapacitate them. Because if you don't, they will grip you in such a way there'll be two funerals. And we don't want that. right?
No, we don't. You're right.
So what we have to say is, and I'm always looking, kind of like Robert Kiyosaki said with finances, I'm always looking for different formulae to really express the painful truths that need to be expressed. And this is the way I'm expressing it. If you have all these bastard kids running around who don't have a concept of a secure, sane life, and they're just like animals. So if you go in, they will destroy you. So the only thing one can do oftentimes is just allow them to devour each other.
Yeah, but some of those can be saved with the right education, with the right male role models like myself. I mean,
yeah, but what about that, Eric? Is that likely?
22 years of my life, I was a hot-headed individual.
I've given community service, too, but let me tell you something. If they said you got to don a bulletproof vest, you got to have a weapon, you're going into a war zone, I may think twice about going into a situation such as that.
But see, here's the thing with that. And, you know, like in the piece that we said, they're not worried about white folk or anybody else of other colors coming in. They just, you know, it's like your own people are the ones they're destroying. You know, like, you know, the Koreans and what have you go in the neighborhood. They build liquor stores, you know, pawn shops, what have you. And everything's fine. They really do. You see them stores getting robbed. So maybe we should take some type of model or whatever from them and see what's going on, because it's got to be some kind of way to fix this thing. Because I guess you can say if we were at war, the enemy is already in the neighborhoods, and that's kind of establish the problems that we have.
Well, there's no law against self. Destruction, apparently.
I would go to so much real thought with you, look, but I'm just going to keep it honest. I took this guy on real shit with them Korean and all that, but it's just playing because I don't know if you guys go that far.
Supreme, you need to fix your connection, guy.
Well, the Koreans are doing okay. No one, now, look, every group has dysfunctions. Every group. I've surveyed different groups. Every group has dysfunction. I was looking at the Hatfields and the McCoys. What was that except gang rivalry? And it was practiced for generations, right? They even made a miniseries on the History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
That was all white. And they were killing each other wholesale, capturing each other. Once someone shot someone, then one side, that side upon whom the person was shot would capture some of the other side. And if the person that was shot didn't survive, which was their relative, well, then they would execute some of the other side's people. So, I mean, it was just a continuing back and forth melee. Just absolute breakdown in civilization. But, I mean, I think they've stopped fighting. I mean, last time I checked. And you have wars all over the world right now. People are fighting. So, I mean, I think it was Eckhart Tolle that said, this common state of humanity is insanity. So, but what we have to do, that's in the New Earth, I believe. What we have to do is simply choose not to be insane and not to operate around insane people. I would, when that Katrina thing happened, which was a tragedy, but I always asked the question at the time, and of course we are adjusting for inflation, who among them, were there any victims that made $50,000 and more per year? Were any people trapped in the Katrina debacle that earned $50,000 or more a year? What do you think about that, Eric?
Not a lot.
Excuse me, two people spoke at the same time.
Yeah, I said not a lot.
Hello?
I said a majority of the people who was in Katrina were poor.
Okay, so my question is, were there any people trapped in Katrina that earned $50,000 or more?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, what do you think, Eric?
I don't think it was many of them trapped that they made $50,000 or more.
That's why I had to stick.
I don't think so. I think because they had the resources to get out before it came. So
what do you
think,
Stan? Is Stan still there?
Stan? His line is open. I don't see him in the chat room. He may have dropped off.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you think any people that made that earned $50,000 or more were trapped in the Katrina catastrophe?
No, I don't think so. It was only a lot of poor people that were trapped over there.
There you go. And what's the best thing that you can do for the poor people on an individual basis?
Well, help them up to become self-sufficient.
Do you have an answer, Eric?
I would say teach them how to survive. Help them get to where they
need to be. Teach them how to be self-sufficient. I'll
ask the question again. What is the best thing that one can do for poor people? How about not be one of them?
You know,
I'm asking you. Now, if we want answers, a lot of people will say to me, well, you know, some people will say it. Let's put it that way. Some non-progressive or pussified people, they'll say, well, you know, you got to meet the person on their level. And to a degree, that's true. But there's got to be an interchange, like we talk about in male-female relationships, but this has a broad application. There has to be a reciprocity or reciprocation. So if I'm going to have an interactive relationship with you, yes, I may step down for accommodation some, but not much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You also have got to be willing to step up. Now, a lot of people don't even know what up is. Is that a problem?
Yes, that is a problem.
Damn right it is. So the point is, when I say the best thing one can do for poor people is not to be one of them, that's not being cruel.
No, it's not.
That's actually being... Now, would you say that? See, the thing of it is, you know, it says, let God be true and every man a liar, something of that sort. If you're going to tell lies to tell the poor, okay, you're okay being poor. Is that true?
No, that is not true.
That's right. So would you ever tell someone the best thing you can do for the poor is not be one of them? Would you say that?
Yeah, but brother, hang on, brother, right? You're not talking sensible. The reason why you've got money, yeah, is every time there's someone rich, maybe 10 people in the world are being fucked over.
That's a bad attitude, there, Supreme.
That's real talk, brother. That's real talk.
That's not real talk.
No, that's not real talk, Supreme. The problem that you have, maybe you don't have money, is that you don't know how to create money. And we've been too much focused on having jobs and things like that and being dependent about doing jobs and this. We don't have the mentality as black people to create things, to be entrepreneur, to be people who create business and things like that. And that's where you get power. If you're depending on working on somebody and having a job, like Robert Kiyosaki said, just over broke, you're done. You're going
to... But Stan, what I would encourage you to do, is to look up, you can check it in Wikipedia. Look up the Talented 10th or the Black Elite. You did a show on that once upon a time, Eric.
It's a bootleg fucking...
Excuse me?
I did do a show on that.
Yeah, see, the thing is with Supreme, when you adjust for his culture, where he came from and where he is now, the laws are different for Supreme. So he's under a different set of laws than are the case here. Like he said, they don't have freedom of speech. Now, no one has absolute freedom of speech. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's not appropriate. And there are certain things known legally as fighting words. So,
right.
I mean, freedom of speech doesn't mean you can say anything anywhere. But what it does say is that the government cannot, should not censure your speech. You know, when you're speaking with respect to redress of grievances and that sort of thing, that is a Bill of Rights guarantee of the government. And so when Supreme speaks, as he said in the UK where he is, they don't have freedom of speech. They can arrest you for even, what, being acrimonious toward another person, just calling a person names, using expletives, I believe you said, Supreme?
Oh, well, if it's deemed as racist, right, and you can prove it.
I can't understand you. You may need to get a little bit closer to the mic. Isn't it true that you said you guys don't have freedom of speech in the UK as is the case in America?
Yes.
See, Supreme, a lot of times when I'm listening to him, I have to adjust for his location, because he's speaking out of his experiences. But what he also needs to understand, that we're speaking out of our experience.
That's a little true. Okay, I understand that.
Yeah, so he's speaking under a different set of laws, and he was raised under that set of laws. How long have you been in the UK, Supreme?
I was born in this shit.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said I was born in this shit.
Okay, he was
born. Right. He was born and he experiences, at least from his statements, he experiences a more direct and heightened level of racial segregation. Is that true, Supreme?
It's not as if you've got money, you can move to anywhere you want. You can move around white folk. It's not like that. It's not like that. It appears as though black.
Maybe I should have been a little bit more clear in my question. We understand that's the case no matter where one is. If you have money, I've often used the hyperbolic example that there are people who live in Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. However, if they have money, they don't want to come to the U.S. I corrected some of the white racist separatist assholes or a-holes on this particular point. They were saying, well, everybody wants to come to America. I said, no. Mostly poor people, people who don't have opportunities and or legacy wealth in their country. There are people in Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Do you get that? Hello?
Yeah.
I'm
Supreme.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
They would not want to move because their money gives them freedom where they are. Freedom and power, by the way, both. So you understand?
Yes.
I understand, Mr. Solution. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So we're speaking from a different set of principles here in the U.S., and so although I appreciate talking to you, I mean, you know, you call in all the time. I mean, I enjoy hearing your experiences. But again, getting back to the central issue, a lot of times people use that drowning analogy. When you go in to try to help a lot of people who have become accustomed to their, disempowered state. Let me finish the concept here. They will fight you. So you got to realize that. Now, have I done teaching? Obviously, I've, you know, contributed computers, worked in the oratory program to support that, to support education. Because I do think that education, appropriate education, has a lot of power for an individual. And so, but you got to be careful because everybody doesn't want that. And so some people will hurt you. That's the reason. You said the police. Now, the police, they have bulletproof vests, right, which is a margin of protection. That's why they wear it. They have guns. They have backup. They have support. And you say they don't go into these war zones? That should tell you something. What the hell would you look like going in there? A fool?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go in there. Now, Eric, you've seen combat, right?
Yes, I did.
I was in the military. Thank you for your service. I didn't see combat. I, you know, You know, I was fortunate not to see combat. But the point is I understand what it's like, and that's the reason a lot of people who go into combat are never the same. But nevertheless, if you're going to go into a combat zone, you need to be equipped, right? Then you guys wear bulletproof vests, steel helmets, you had radio communication, you had backup, you had several weapons. So, okay. I mean, what would you have looked like going into a war zone unprotected? You look pretty ridiculous, right?
Right, right.
Because those people weren't going to negotiate with you.
Yeah, you're right. Not at all.
And
not
neither
at
are
all.
The people in those neighborhood war zones. They're not going to negotiate with you either. They see you as the enemy. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is
okay.
So true.
That's the right reason to feel like that. No, the United States only after what the resources they can get out of the country. That's the bottom line. That's the reason why. And being invaded. So they should stand up and fight against the United States. You know what I mean? Bottom line. They ain't right in what the United States do by going around the world and fucking with people. They ain't no good in that. Yeah, that's fuckeries. You understand? Some fuckeries. They ain't right in that. They good to fucking. You come in my house, and I haven't told you you can come in my house. No, I'm going to be throwing punches. I'm going to tell you something puts me down, yeah? I understand that. You can't come in my house and you ain't ask my permission. If I see you in my house, I'm going to be throwing punches, weapons you out. I'll try to kill you in my house, and I haven't told you to come in my house.
You're breaking up. You need a better phone. Eric, are you going to deal with the issue, the devil made me do it?
Yeah.
I just want to finish one thing that Supreme said to add to Mr. Solution.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Solution, I think he agrees with me. Until those people really look at themselves first and say, we got a problem, we need to fix it. You could bring you could bring everybody from me to everybody, bring them all the books, all this stuff, all this study, all this stuff to get out of there. They'll never get out of there until they make it a priority. Until they say, you know what? I don't like the condition I have. I don't like what I'm going through in my life. I don't want this anymore. I want a better life for me. And I'm open to basically having a better solution for my life. Until you don't have that, you'll be closed-minded. You'll be saying, I'm going to continue doing what I do because that's what I think I need to do. And
you may need to do another program on this, but we talked about the benefits of joining the military, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we did do that.
Okay. Yeah, and what I would say is if I lived in that environment, I would get the hell out. Because you can't change those people. A lot of people do not want to change. You know, maggots love filth.
Exactly.
Believe it or not, there is evil in the world. There's ignorance. There's filth. And there's filth of mind. So my position is that for a person who doesn't have anything, a lot of times the military, for both men and women, or males and females, or in this case it would be young men and women, go to school. You know, do what it takes. Look at the situation, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You remember that show?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he was sent to live with someone else. And so there are ways of getting around this garbage. And, you know, sometimes a person just has to save themselves. You can't save everybody else. So I would say take any opportunity to better yourself, try to join the military, although I think they're taking people. Your best opportunity is if you finish school. I don't even think a lot of times they don't take GEDs, but finish school and then get the hell out of there because you can't change it because a lot of times corrupt people will consume you. So you just have to put distance between yourself and them. Right?
You know what? As sad as that sounds, that is true. That
Wait a minute.
Is,
why does it sound sad, Eric? What's sad about it? That should be very uplifting.
I'm saying, what
win.
Saying is, for you to actually a person to actually have to move away or just to get out to survive from where they grew up at, something it's just to run away from the environment, and that's never a good thing. But I do understand that is something that's necessary sometimes.
Eric, why would you say it's never a good thing? It is a good thing if it preserves your life, peace, and fulfillment. It is a very good thing. Now, I understand the mooring that some people have to their place of origin or their places of origin. I do understand that. And that's why a lot of people can't overcome the gravity. Remember the inertia. Their feelings won't allow them to move, so they end up being consumed by the filth and the dilapidated conditions around them. They say, well, you know, I may as well, this is quicksand, I know it, I know I'm sinking, but I just can't give it up. Why can't you give it up? Your life is worth preserving. Get the hell out.
You know, brother, I hear what you're saying, yeah, and I'm planning my escape route, you know, in another 10 years' time.
Where are you going to escape to, Supreme?
I'm going to Dominica or Jamaica, and I'm going to live in the hills. I build a house on the hill, on the top of the highest hill I can find, because I know that these countries are susceptible to flooding, and they will be washed away soon.
Now, let me tell you something about Stan. Now, maybe he does know this. I really admire Stan, because I've been to New York. And I always, wherever I go, I always like to ask myself, you know, could I plant my roots and really flourish in this area? I mean, where Stan lives, it gets bone-chilling cold. Right, Stan?
Yeah, it's cold. Don't worry.
Is snow imminent where you are right now?
Yes, it's snowing right now.
What's the temperature?
I didn't check them, but it's cold.
At any rate, Eric, my point is that where Stan lives, it's cold. It's cold for like almost 6 months out of the year.
Right.
Very doggy dog. When I looked around, I didn't see parking lots. A lot of people don't own a car there. There's not a lot of, you know, raw land unless you go to the park. I was in New York. You know, I just said, wow, you know, I couldn't live the New York life. It's more harsh, at least in my way of thinking. Sometimes when I saw these waves of people coming toward me, I went, wow, you know, it was more people at one time compressed than I've seen. So they live in a compressed area, not many trees. And that would have been more difficult for me to survive. But Stan does well there. He thrives in that environment. And
well,
Stan probably has...
It's either kill or get killed over here.
Literally, right?
If you don't have time, it's either go, and there's a lot of opportunity here. People are ready to give you a chance, but they don't excuse being lazy. That's one thing.
What part of New York? Are you upper state? Where are you?
I'm in near Queens, in Brooklyn.
Okay. See, that's the thing I'm saying, Eric. If you put everything together, it's probably hard. Geography, culture, it's probably harder to make it in New York, and you tell me if you agree with this, Stan, than it is in most places. But yet Stan has made it. He's really made it. He calls in, obviously... I'm sorry, go ahead. What?
I don't think it's hard. It's just the mentality. There's a lot of go-getter in New York, a lot of them. A lot of people who don't settle, don't let. And there's a lot of people who just, like you say, just abandon life. Like I said, it's either kill or be killed here in this city. It's like people don't accept. If you're going to abandon life, you abandon life. And people are going to look at you, and they're going to walk on your body and just move on.
Sounds like trading. Was it Trading Places?
Yeah, Trading Places. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Yep, Trading Places.
It's purely, but people are going to give you a chance. If you want to work and make it, you'll make it. if people will give you the chance and everything, but they don't want to waste their, there's one thing you don't want to waste for New Yorkers. Don't make them waste their time. You want to make it, they'll give you the book. But if they feel that you're wasting their time, they'll drop you before you even know.
That sucks. See, in New York, sounds like where I live, London. That's a lot of, very much like London.
Another part of them, I like that mentality because it forces you that when you are having somebody who is a business or things who has time is money for him, he will look at you and everything and see how you are. Even if you don't succeed, if he sees you're a hard worker, he'll keep you. But the day that he sees that you're not working hard anymore or you're taking him for granted, he'll drop you. He won't even call you anymore. He'll drop you. You'll be calling him and say, can I talk to sir? And he'll be like, what's your name? Oh, I don't know you. Just like that. Even you talked to him yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's just like London, isn't it? Just like out here.
It's very hard to understand, but I understand that, man. I talk to those people. I say, man, this guy, you drop him. And they tell me the truth. This guy wasn't doing what he needed to do. I have no problem he's making mistakes. I have no problem doing this. But
what
he stopped working. He stopped believing in himself. And I don't got time for this. And like Mr. Solution says, and he told me, a person who's worth at least $10 million has so much restaurant and so much business in the state, talked to me and told me, I want to be with the best. And the people I am with will be basically the influence of my life. I don't want to be with people who are going to bring me down.
What kind of business are you in?
You're going to be part of my circle. You're going to be winners. If you're not a winner, you're not part of my circle.
What kind of business are you in?
I'm more internet marketing and everything, creating websites and doing a lot of affiliate marketing, things like that, and creating websites and e-commerce sites also.
Mate, you see what it is as well. You see, when you've got those sort of trades, when you're doing those sort of things, those are something that the youth could definitely get a lot out of going into that line of work.
Yeah, but those kind of sources and everything, I had to work to get it. You could get it. Anybody could get it, especially now we're in.
No. I'm saying if I had that sort of trade, I could teach the youth.
Yeah, of course.
Then, you know, because I ain't trade. I'm a soldier of fortune. So I don't have anything that I can really pass on unless you want to learn to fight. But then again, I don't know how far you're going to get doing that.
But I truly believe the solution is it comes back to school. And I'm going to go back to one of the person I respect the most, Robert Kiyosaki. Until we don't teach young people financial intelligence, this is never going to resolve. Until we don't tell people the truth of, you want to be an employee, you want to be a business owner, you want to be self-employed, or you want to be an investor.
You know what's so bad about that? And I'm glad, you know, we hit this real fast. You know the bad thing about that? Many of those guys out there, they're slinging and you know, they lost their lives and stuff. You know, they have that type of talent. They really do.
Yeah.
But you know, as we assume, they just got caught up in the game.
Yeah, but they really don't, Eric. No, they don't, because this is the reason they don't. There are some people, and if you've ever, and you guys will probably identify with this once I say it. There are people who are very good at specific things, but you find in an integrated society, you have to be good at more than just one thing. For example, when an employer hires you, they're not just hiring you for your skill, although that's good. They're hiring you for your skill. They're also hiring you to show up on time. They're also hiring you to work and get along with the other people. So, and to apply that to the situation, many of those people who may have a skill in a very limited area, they don't have the overall people skills. They wouldn't be able to get along in an environment that requires a certain level of cooperation. Do you follow that? You understand that?
which we call emotional intelligence. Or
well, yeah, you've got to be able to work with other people.
Yeah.
And that's very, very important, because if you're always fighting with them, then you're detracting from the company's mission. You follow me?
I follow you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not just although Eddie Murphy, like in that picture Trading Places, I like that. That's sort of a classic. Now, he defined those guys, Duke and Duke, as bookies. But he also, he changed. He was at that critical point that he could change, and a lot of people can't. Because you saw what happened when he brought in all of his low-life buddies, and they were dirtying up his house and just treating his house, you know, like a slum. He kicked them out. He got sick of them. So there does have to be that change. There has to, I mean, if one is going to adapt. And these people that you're saying that appears that they have good entrepreneurial skills on the street, they don't translate those skills. And most of them can't translate those skills. That's the point I'm trying to make. They can't and they won't. Because I believe basically a person can do, you know, pretty much what they want to do if given an opportunity. But certain people, their taste is such that they're not going to do the right thing. I think this chick, her last name was Sargent, brilliant woman, but she liked the thugs. She said she didn't like the Wall Street guys. This is one of the, it talks about the smart women who get with bad boys, and there are a lot of women who do this. And she ended up getting shot through the head, killed instantly with her near-do boyfriend. And they didn't kill him, by the way. They killed her. I think maybe she was even set up by him. But nevertheless, did you hear of that, Stanley? I believe that was in your area. It was in New York. It was a lady by the name of Sargent.
Oh, that woman who got killed by shot by the head?
Yeah, I heard that.
Was shot through the head. But one of her points was she didn't like the Wall Street type guys because they were boring. She liked the thugs.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I mean, they are out there.
Yeah, well, many women love bad boys. We love bad boys. We ain't going to get around that. You know what I mean? We ain't going to get around that. The women have to get around that themselves. You understand? They should.
Well, yeah, but the way they would be helped in getting around it is just be told the truth. There's nothing
more powerful
than the truth. The truth
not gonna
has.
What I'm saying
the truth
is that.
Has,
but Mr. Solution, I think
hang
they
on.
Know the
I'm
truth.
Saying
I think they know that they're going out with a bad boy. Now, the only thing I said, if you do it, you have to assume the responsibility and you have to be accountable. You want to go with bad boys? Go ahead. But don't go and cry into my face or Mr. Solution or Joe or any guy. Ooh, boo, boo, boo. I'm going out with a bad boy. He's treating me well. It's not good. Well, you made that choice.
Except when they want us to laugh at them, because that's what. Well, the first time we will give them constructive advice. If they do it again, then we laugh at them.
And then we laugh at them. Of course,
between themselves, right? Need a platform to discuss that, and they get that shit out of their head. Understand? So we can't tell them women that, and they're gonna really go with it. You understand? Because they'll just think that we've got. When most women are having a discussion with men, they usually tend to think that the man has some other agenda on his mind.
Well, whose fault is that, Supreme? Is it my fault or her fault if she has that feeling, that mindset? I don't have that mindset when I meet a woman. I don't have that mindset. Maybe that woman has another agenda. I have the mindset that you are who you are. Until you show me differently, I'll take you for who you are.
What about the devil made me do it? Maybe we should segue into that.
So go ahead. What's the devil make you do it?
I was about to say the same thing. The devil made you do it.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Eric,
it could be the devil in them, right?
What are you talking about?
They could be the devil that made themselves do it, correct?
Right.
Okay, I just wanted to inject that, but the devil made me do it. What is
That is a basic. Our entire legal system is based on the fact, and our education system, that people have a level of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Those systems. Remember, systems sit on very small but very fundamental premises. Whole systems, entire systems. And that's why it's important to understand how something is structured.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the devil made me do it. If you present that to a judge, has that ever been a viable defense? I'm sure I could look that up to find.
No, but
has
I would
ever prevail?
Is because they'll say you're mentally ill.
You're mentally not there. They could say
okay.
that. You're
hold
mentally
up, y'all.
There.
Hold up, y'all. Wait a minute. I have to go and look that up tonight because we're not going to get too far into this right now because we're not extending the show today. But we're going to go to The Devil Made Me Do It Too tomorrow, and we're really going to get into this little great insanity thing.
Yeah, you need to explain what you mean, Eric, also, because the devil, are you saying that religious people have your tendency and say, I didn't do that action, it wasn't my responsibility, some spirit or something made me do that? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a part of it, Stanley. That's a part of it, yes.
We're going to make an interesting show tomorrow, looking to the FBI and CIA putting drugs and cocaine on the streets where you know that black people are. Look at the fact that when they shut down organizations like Black Panthers, and the Nation of Islam, that they were sent over Jamaicans, right, to come down to New York and sell drugs and territory. Jim Brown, Christopher Dolan, Scott. Look up those things. And how they get paid to, we call it, to make people vote in my country, Jamaica. And in other poor countries, I know they do shit for 8 years. What? They pay the local, the youth. Gangs forced to vote for different parties. I know you should be familiar with that, Stan, right? Because I know you're Asian.
Well, Stanley, Stanley gone.
Well, look that up, brother.
Yeah, well, I'll check it out tonight when I'm doing my research for my show. But we're gonna cut it short right here. Wait, Mr. Solution, any final words?
No, I'm good, Eric. Thanks. Good show.
Okay. Thanks. Ms. Supreme?
I'm highly blessed. And good show. I've got a show tonight. You should come over tonight. It's All Black People Are Mooring. You should come over, Carbon Radio family.
Well, you know, I'll try and get there. What time is your show?
It should be, it's in the next hour and a half.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Supreme. How does your reception for your show be so well, but you get on my show and we barely can understand you? Please explain.
I don't know, brother. They're messing with my line, brother. That's all I got to say. They mess with my line.
They mess with your line?
They're messing with my lines.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it could be just a different line, Eric, that he's on.
Yeah.
In other words, a different system picks him up. If
right.
he does come in, I haven't listened to his show yet, but do you come in clearly on your show, Supreme?
Sometimes I had the difficulties in the last time, bro.
Yeah,
but,
see, he came in very spottily there.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. All
but
right.
But then later on, it got better. That's how it is. Keep on logging out, logging back in. I end up getting the get better as I keep playing in and out. You see, I'll disconnect out of the show and then come back in. You see, and it gets better over time. That's what I've.
Oh, okay. All right, we got you. All right, we got to get up out of here, man. I got some business I got to go and handle. All right, y'all. All right, appreciate your support, Mr. Solution, Supreme, Stanley. Let's see, 8.5. You know, I want to thank everybody. Let's see, ELT, everybody listening on the other line. I appreciate you today. Of course, as always, you know, your support means a whole lot. Well, y'all, we got a lot of done and said. You know, we have some solutions, but we don't have all solutions. So, you know, we're gonna have to talk about this a little bit more and work on it. You know, the black on black crime in our neighborhoods is just something that I guess it's gonna take work. Maybe over time we can redirect or correct what has taken 10-15 years to just get all out of control. I'm not even gonna call it blossom. Just say just completely out of control. And who knows? Maybe like the old gangsters, you know, they may get older and realize what they're doing doesn't make any dang on sense. But hopefully by that time they haven't killed off each other to the point to where we just damn near extinct, you know, as black men, sensible black men anyway. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, y'all, it's been another good one. But I got to get up out of here. I know y'all got some things to do. But today is Tuesday. So, hey, find something to do today with the family, man. Chill out. Have fun. Make it a pizza night or something. You know, go ride through the park and look at the lights. I know every city got a place where they have all these lights showing. So, hey, take a ride and check that out. Why not? If it's 82 degrees there like it is here, yeah, do that. Can't beat it. But until then, you know, remember, hug that someone special, kiss them, let them know you appreciate them, you know, and you know, just keep the country in prayer because, you know, we need it right about now. Well, but until then, y'all, I'll see y'all tomorrow where we'll be doing The Devil Made Me Do It Too. We really going to get into this thing about this theory that where people be yelling, devil made me do it. Is it really a such thing as the devil making you do it? Is it just a thing as your mind just playing tricks on you? Something to think about overnight, right? Right. But until then, y'all have fun. Enjoy the rest of your day. And I'll see y'all tomorrow. I'm out of here.